Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay. We will start momentarily. So we are beginning this class on the Hashem webpage. You'll find the handout at the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 9. The second column from the left, it will be the Advanced Reincarnation landing page. And if you scroll to class number 2, that opens up to Chapter 1, Part 2, which we did last week. So this is now going to be Chapter 1, Part 3, which you will find on that same landing bit, that same page, by scrolling down a little bit till you see the words Chapter 1, Part 3. The title of the section is Path of Rectification, and we will start with the L'Shem Yehud. Hashem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Liakta L'Shem Yud He Bavate Beyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeihu. And before we start, I would just mention that feel free to interrupt with questions, because there is no such thing as an interruption. Path of rectification. Even though, as is known, there are people whose nefesh is from Malchut of Asiya, and others who are from Yesod of Asiya, still every person must rectify the entire spectrum of Asiya. Only then can a person receive his Ruach from Yetzirah, since Yetzirah is greater than all of Asiyah. Not all souls are rooted at the same level. However, in spite of the level of the root of one's soul, a person is still responsible to rectify all strata within the level of that world to which he is connected. This includes those levels with the same world, but below his root, as well as those above it. No individual can begin to rectify the next level of soul applicable to the next world until he has rectified all the lower levels of the world in which he is rooted. Thus, he can initiate work on Ruach from Yetzirah only after his nefesh from Asiyah is completely rectified. That means he must rectify the nefesh of nefesh, the ruach of nefesh, the neshama of nefesh, the chaya of nefesh, and the yechidah of nefesh before he receives a ruach. One must be involved with the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvot that correspond to all of Asiyah. Similarly, in order to attain the neshama from Bria, a person needs to rectify every part of his ruach in all of Yetzirah, after which he can then receive his neshama from Bria. What this is saying is you must correct all 5 levels of your lowest level of your soul. When you receive the next level, you must correct all 5 levels of that soul, that level of soul. And then you will receive the higher level, which is known as Neshama, and you will need to correct all five levels of Neshama to be complete and to receive the level of Achaya. And then you will need to correct all five levels of Achaya in order to connect to and receive the level of Yechida. Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. No, Asiya is a world. There are five levels of soul. Chaya. There are also five worlds. There is the world of Asiya that you mentioned. There is the world of Yetzirah. There is the world of Bria, the world of Atzilut, and there is a world above that that is referred to as Adam Kadmon, the primordial man. There are five worlds. There are five partsufim. A partsuf is a sephirah in a structure of 10 sephirot. So there is five worlds, five partsufim, five levels of soul, and 10 sephirot. We are just talking about the levels of soul. So you cannot jump from the nefesh of a soul to the ruach of a soul until all five partsufim of that nefesh have been corrected. And in case you couldn't hear, that was Toby saying Ashrei. I'm continuing to read. The import of this above-mentioned rectification or tikkun is that one must be involved with the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvot that correspond to all of Asiya, not just those which correspond to the specific place to which his nefesh is connected. The 613 mitzvot correspond to the various limbs and tendons that make up a human being, whose shape represents the structure of the sephirot in the spiritual realm. In the sense that partsuf refers to the entire human form, each partsuf consists of 613 limbs and tendons. Thus, the performance of a specific mitzvah brings rectification to the corresponding parts of the human body and to the corresponding section of the partsufim and the corresponding section of the sephirah. The Talmud has already taught that there are mitzvot that have special significance for specific people. That is to say, one mitzvah is important for a particular person, and another mitzvah is significant for another person. Nevertheless, in order to advance spiritually, each individual must perform all the mitzvot that he can, and not content himself with the performance of only those mitzvot that are significant to him or to her. I'll give you a specific example. there's a male mitzvah to wear tefillin. You wear tefillin every day of your life? The answer is no. You wear tefillin on days that are not holidays. Not, okay. What happens if you miss a day?
Okay,
so you can miss it because you're not well. You're not supposed to put on tefillin when you're not well. Okay. If you're doing a mitzvah of doing a good deed for someone else, then you're not able to put on the tefillin at a particular time. But you can put on the tefillin up until sunset. So if you're doing a mitzvah that takes you all 12 hours of the day and you didn't do the mitzvah, then it's assumed that you would have done the mitzvah. But that's not the question I'm asking. I'm asking the question, today you didn't have a mitzvah, the alternate mitzvah. You weren't ill. You were tired. You didn't get up in time to slay the mitzvah, to do the laying of tefillin, and then later in the day you got busy with other things, and you never laid the tefillin today. So what happens to that soul? Did it lose the ability to correct whatever level of nefesh that laying of mitzvah, laying of tefillin is? And there's a higher level also, a third level of tefillin that most people don't know about. But let's not go there. It's just too confusing for people at this level. I know. We'll talk about it in another day. Maybe after the recording. But let's stay focused at this level so we don't lose people with other aspects. But so you lay Rabbeinu Tam. Do you normally lay Rabbeinu Tam? Okay. Now, the Sephardim, when they are married, not before. Different levels. There is an action, it's a mitzvah for a man to become married. It's not a mitzvah for a woman to become married. A man becomes married, he has corrected a certain level of tefillin. So now he needs to lay Rabbeinu Tam. The Ashkenazis don't think like that. It's a different level. They're not incorrect. It's a level of what they're dealing with. Yeah. Exactly. Now, we haven't answered the question that I've asked. What happens to the soul who misses a day of laying tefillin? The soul would cry out, okay. Did the body hear it? No, the body doesn't hear the soul crying out. Okay. I'm not going to give you the answer because I want you to think about it. But I am going to give the answer on the recording, which is the fact that you've missed that mitzvah for that day means that you have to come back as an ibur to someone who's going to lay that tefillin on the day you missed in their life so that you can do the same mitzvah with them. Now, I haven't defined ibur because that's coming up in another few classes. Pregnant. But in reincarnation, you have your soul, and you can have up to three additional souls that you lend your body to let them fulfill their mitzvah that they missed So I don't mean to be confusing. But let us finish section 3. Run to do a mitzvah. Don't delay it. Why? Because if you miss, you didn't get out of bed in time to fill it, and then you got busy with all the things you do, and so you miss the day. Means you have to come back to somebody else's body and assist them in laying the tefillin on that day. The above-mentioned rectification is thus also applicable in the realm of upholding Torah and mitzvot. That's the last of section 3, or part 3 of chapter 1. Now we are going to read part 4, acquiring soul levels. It is not sufficient to only rectify the particular spot to which his soul is connected. So my soul might be in the nefesh level. Do I not have a neshama? If I've corrected all 5 levels of nefesh, then I have a ruach. And if I've corrected all 5 of those, but my soul is ultimately in the level of Adam, when I was present in Adam's body as part of all of the souls of humanity, my level was a nefesh of nefesh, of one part of his body. I don't know where my soul level is. There are ways to find out. That's what the study of Kabbalah brings us, to know which level we are at. But it does not stop us from the obligation to correct higher levels or lower levels than where we are.
To be able to say, to hear my, wouldn't it be nice? Then you'd be able to accomplish if we are satisfied.
So, what is the purpose of sleep?
Sleep is what is. I believe that besides your heaven from life, there's a video. While he was speaking, just filmed that question opens up the mind
and does what? And does what?
Says exactly what this body is.
Okay.
So,
Toby and I have entered into a discussion, and I'm not sure that the recording is picking up Toby's voice. So the question is, Toby is saying, well, but we sleep 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or 3 hours a day. We sleep, and in those hours of sleep, we're missing the opportunity to correct all of these different mitzvot that we need to be doing. And I responded to Toby by asking him, so what is the purpose of sleep? And Toby explained, in his opinion, the purpose of sleep is for the soul to report in to a Bet Din, a court, or to some level of consciousness, what the body did that day. It's not 100% correct, but let's let it stay at that level for now. So I'm continuing to read part 4. You're not interrupting. I told you there is no such thing as an interruption. I'm reading part 4 at the section number 1. Not the section, but the paragraph that's titled number 1. It is not sufficient to only rectify the particular spot to which his soul is connected. Rather, he must rectify all aspects of each level, as we have mentioned, until he merits all of Asiya, at which time he can achieve the Ruach of Yetzirah. It is this way with all the worlds. Now, the book, the Sefer Gilgulim, Sharei Gilgulim, that we're reading, has jumped around, because he's saying you have to correct the Nefesh and acquire the Asiya. When you correct all five levels of Nefesh, you acquire the world of Asiya, every aspect of Asiya. We need to understand what is a world. And he does not really explain it in the book. There is a Sefirah, which is a desire, which is a consciousness level. There is a world that consists of fulfilling that desire, or all of those desires. That is called a world. The world is in a process of growing from no fulfillment to 100% fulfillment. When you correct all five levels of your nefesh, your lowest level of soul, and you receive the Ruach, you will acquire all parts of Asiya that you need to fulfill your destiny within this lifetime. I hope that's clear, or if not clear, you'll contemplate it. Yes. And when you fulfill all nefeshot, all nefeshes, you acquire Olam Asiya. But do you acquire the world of action in China? You don't live in China. You've never visited China. So you only acquire the world of Asiya, Olam Asiya, that is helpful and useful for your lifetime. Paragraph 2. This means that one must be involved with the study of Torah and the doing of her mitzvot. Likewise, if a person sins and blemishes a particular spot in Asiya, even though it is not the place to which his nefesh is connected, he must rectify it. If he commits a sin that affects a part of Asiya to which his soul is not particularly connected, he is responsible to rectify the blemish. Even though a person's nefesh comes from a specific place in the world of Asiya, he is still responsible to acquire every level of Asiya. The nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and the yechida of Asiya, as we learned at the end of the previous section. Likewise, if he commits a sin that affects a part of Asiya to which his soul is not particularly connected, he is responsible to rectify the blemish, since he is expected to acquire that level, as well as his way of attaining the Ruach of Yetzirah. In order to get the Ruach, he has to do all of the actions that correct his nefesh. If in the process of correcting his nefesh, he has done a sin that blemishes his nefesh, He is blemishing not only his nephesh, but he's blemishing the world of Asiyah. He now has to correct the world of Asiyah and the nephesh in order to continue to grow to receive the ruach. He can't receive the ruach till he corrects all five levels, including all of the sins he may have done in previous lifetimes. They were right. They were tzaddikim. But the asking, Toby's asking a question about Nadav and Abihu, and he's saying, but they were righteous people, and so they did something wrong, which is considered a sin, and that sin was not to ask their Rebbe, which was Moshe, their uncle, or their father, to do that. But the asking of Moshe or Aaron for permission to do it, the asking is control of their desire. Their desire is lustful for a righteous person. For a regular person, lust is, I want to sleep with that woman. For a righteous person, lust is wanting to be closer to God when they are not ready. Yes, you can use that as if it helps. It's helpful for you to understand the answer to the question you've asked. Because what you really asked is, what did they do wrong? Well, what they did wrong was not correct that level of their soul. Now we know the definition of a sin. Not correcting the level of a particular action or soul, what does that happen is it brings an additional covering to the light of that level of soul. A klipa gets thicker and thicker and thicker every time you make the same mistake. The thicker and thicker and thicker klipa, it gets harder to take off and correct. Continuing to read, even though a person's nefesh comes from a specific place in the world of Asiyah, he is still responsible to acquire every level of Asiyah. The nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and the yechida of Asiyah, as we learned at the end of the previous section. Likewise, if he commits a sin that affects a part of Asiyah, to which his soul is not particularly connected, he is responsible to rectify the blemish, since he is expected to acquire that level as well on his way to attaining the next level of soul, the ruah. Paragraph 3. However, if another nefesh failed to perform a specific mitzvah from the world of Asiyah, or sinned and blemished something in the world of Asiyah, this does not obligate him to rectify the missing mitzvah or the blemish caused by the sin of the other nefesh. If they are both from the same place, however, then this is not the case, as we will explain later on with Hashem's help.
And if someone
question that you're asking. Toby is asking, can I ask somebody else to do the mitzvah and correct my, and what is read in this paragraph? But there's a paragraph of explanation. So let me read that and see if you're answered. So this will be explained in a later chapter. It can be said here briefly that there are times when more than one soul occupies a single body. If the souls originate from the same root, then they share a common responsibility and a common need for correction, tikkun. However, if they do not come from the same root, then the deficiency or the sin of one nefesh does not necessitate the other to be part of the rectification process. So your question is answered. Yes, you can ask another person, but how do you know that other person is from your level? Paragraph 4. Alternatively, it is possible that the concept of tikkun, of rectification, applies only to blemishes resulting from sin and not from the lack of performance of any of the 248 positive mitzvot. Thus, rectification is only necessary in the case of a sin and not for the failure to perform a positive mitzvot. Paragraph 5. Or the following is possible, and it is the correct interpretation. Let us say that a soul is from the malchut of the nukva of Asiyah, called the nefesh of Asiyah. He does not have to rectify the sections that are not connected to the root of his soul. This takes a while for you to contemplate. The lowest level. Keter is the highest level. Malchut is the lowest level. Now, the Malchut, the next, what it said is Malchut of the Nukva. The Nukva is the Malchut in a structure of 10 Sephirot. So it's Malchut of somewhere in those 10 Sephirot of, so let's say it's Malchut of Malchut. And then we're saying that it's Malchut of the Nukva of Asiyah, meaning it's connected to the level of where he's coming from. The soul component we are speaking of, as an example, is Malchut of Asiyah. Now that we have identified this is the location, that person doesn't have to do the mitzvah of that level, whatever that mitzvah is. He doesn't have to do it. But if he did do it and did it incorrectly, he blemished it, now he has to correct it. So literally, he's only responsible for what he does wrong. Correct. I'm not yet a mind reader, Toby, so the answer is no. I don't know what you were thinking this way.
Yeah.
Or you or you're drafted to a job.
Yeah. So I took the letter. Mm-hmm. And because the biblical section for public. Not only that, there might be a PRAST and the variable value would add up 40 times. So why do I say that on the basis of the fear? This rule, I used to know as far as that, not commission, but not sifting. Because there must have been, if we had reached the 50th level for itself, they would not have been redeemed.
Thank you for sharing. We're continuing to read. If you take the 10th Sephirah called Malchut and subdivide it into 10 Sephirot, it becomes a Partsu called Asiyah. The 10th Sephirah of this subset of 10 Sephirot is also called Malchut. And more specifically, the Malchut of Asiyah. If this Malchut is in turn subdivided into its own set of 10 Sephirot, its 10th Sephirah will be the Malchut of the Asiyah, or Malchut of the Nukva of Asiyah. Thus, the soul in question would be a level within the subset of the subset of the 10th Sephirah Malchut within the general structure of 10 Sephirot. He will have to rectify all of the Malchuyot, which is the plural of Malchut, of Ruah and Neshama and Chaya and Yechidah of Asiyah. A person has to rectify his five roots in the five partsufim of Asiyah, but he does not have to rectify the sections that are not connected to the root of his soul. Since his root is specifically in Malchut, it is relevant to the Malchut on all levels in each partsu. Someone who only rectifies the Malchut of Asiyah only acquires the nefesh of the nefesh that is within Asiyah. If the root of his soul is in Malchut, then he has to rectify the Malchut of Asiyah in order to acquire the Nefesh of the Nefesh. A person who also rectifies the Zeranpin of Asiyah acquires both the Nefesh and the Ruach from Asiyah. Since his soul is from the Malchut, then he must rectify the Malchut of the Zeranpin of Asiyah in order to acquire the Ruach of Asiyah as well as the Nefesh. It also rectifies the Ima of Asiyah that he attains the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama from Asiyah. It is the same until he rectifies all five partsufim of Asiyah, in which case he will have acquired all of the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechidah of Asiyah. And this will be discussed again in chapter 11. We're in chapter 1 right now. That's the end of our class, although I'm open for questions if you'd like to continue to clarify it. I'll give you a little bit of more complexity in case you didn't have enough complexity from what we've just read. Toby, how many parts of the body are there? And how many parts of the tendons? And the total?
Yeah.
613. Okay. So you have 613 parts of your body. Does each one of those parts have a soul? Let me rephrase it. Does each one of those parts have a nefesh? So how many nefeshes do you have? You have 613 nefeshes. Nefeshot. Now you have the 613 nefeshes. Did you correct all 613 nefeshes before you got to the Ruach? Or do you only correct the spleen, as an example? You only have to correct the nefesh of the spleen. Or do you have to correct all 613 nefesh? And Toby is thinking, and that's because he doesn't really need to answer this question. It's not a rhetorical question, but it's a question that you need to contemplate so that you begin to understand the complexity when we talk about soul. The issue of the word English, I talk about a soul in English, and everybody knows what I mean. I'm talking about the soul of Hanoch ben Yaakov. Or am I talking about the 613 nefeshes of Hanoch ben Yaakov? English is a physical language. We've structured all of the soul parts called nefesh into one component called Hanoch ben Yaakov. But the truth is, there are 613 nefeshes. So when I refer to the soul of Hanoch ben Yaakov, is it all 613 or only those that relate to the place where my soul root comes from in Adam? I don't have to correct the nefeshes for those parts of my body that I wasn't in Adam. Soul of Adam, or for women in the soul of Hava. Are there any questions? We will continue this next week with class number 3, if you want to read ahead to the handouts. Shalom. Have a beautiful afternoon and evening. Shalom.